going on, because I'm hard time. It's a hard time standing still. That better? Well, have you ever tried to describe something that's indescribable? That's what our thought's going to be about tonight. And I'm here to tell you that we're here to worship a God that is indescribable. So I'm going to do the best I can with the help of a few pictures tonight. They say that a picture's worth 1,000 words. So the more pictures I have, maybe the less that I'll have to talk. But we're going to try to look at some visual ideas tonight to help us understand a little bit more about God. As Jake read for us there in Psalm 19, says that the heavens proclaim the glory of God. So when we are lucky enough here in this part of the world, at least, that we can go out on a summer night and we can look into the sky and we can see the vast stars, and we must realize that those stars aren't there just to, you know, as the kids say, to twinkle, twinkle, little star. But those stars are there, and they're on a display for us. They're there, and they're shouting back to all of us that God is truly amazing. And He's bigger than anything that we've ever dreamed. He's bigger than anything that we could possibly dream. He's working on a scale that is so far beyond what our minds can comprehend that we, as humans, have a hard time understanding just how great God is, and that's what makes Him indescribable. The psalmist tells us that the heavens are telling the glory of God, that the skies display His craftsmanship, and day after day they continue to speak, and night after night they continue to make Him known. So what they're telling us is don't sell God short, because God is huge and God is powerful. He is so ginormous. He is greater than any thought, any problem, anything that we could ever have come our way. And these stars are like a billboard that God has put up there to remind us every night that He is great and that He is in control and that He will take care of us. The scripture is very simple. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. You know, a lot of people have an idea of a Big Bang. And you know what? We can be okay with the Big Bang theory. Yeah, God said it, and bang, it happened. Okay? So God said, let there be light. And God spoke, and what God spoke, God got. And the universe, as we know it, came into existence. But this universe is so massive that we don't even know how big it is. We always speak about the known universe. That means it's what we can currently have the capability to see, what technology allows us to see. So the translation to that is, we haven't built a big enough telescope yet to see exactly how big it is. But many times scientists are stumped. They're stumped and they have a dilemma. And the dilemma is that our universe is so big and so broad that it has to be, or has to have other planets that are inhabited. But one of these arguments is, if we're the only ones inhabiting a planet, then this universe is way too big. And I can say amen to that. It might be just a little bit too big if it's just a home for you and a home for me. But what if? What if the primary purpose of this universe is to show off how majestic and show the grandeur and the glory of the God who created it? You know, God said, let there be light, and light came out of the mouth of God at 168,000 miles per second. That's the speed of light. So a beam of light came out. It can circle the earth 7 times every second. Light came screaming out of the mouth of God like nothing we have ever seen or comprehended, and it lit up the universe that fast. Psalms 33:6 says, the Lord merely spoke, and the heavens were created. He breathed the word, and all the stars were born. This picture here that we have is a picture of the Milky Way galaxy. It's what we know as our little subdivision of the universe. And I don't know if you've ever been out on a night, but some nights it's clear, but you can see just a little bit of almost a fog in the sky, and that's part of the Milky Way universe. And then, like I said, this is our subdivision, and our subdivision is so big that we have to use what is known as a light year to get around in it. So that's how far light can travel in 1 year. So for 186,000 miles per second for a solid year, so if light continues at that rate, it travels 5.88 trillion miles in a year. So the measurements that we know here on Earth, an inch or a foot or a mile or a kilometer, those are of no use in this subdivision. We have to use a ruler that is 5.8 trillion miles to measure things in the universe that God created. So in this picture, it has a hard time showing up here, but in this picture, the Milky Way has over a billion stars. And it's just one of hundreds of billions of other galaxies that's currently in the known universe. So if you were to take this picture and you were to begin to count the stars that God created in the Milky Way universe, and you counted one star every second, it would take you 2,500 years to count the stars in the Milky Way galaxy, which is one galaxy of hundreds of millions of known galaxies. So how good is God at telling us how great and how big He is? God tells us through the prophet Isaiah in chapter 40, "To whom will you compare me? Who is my equal?" asked the Holy One. "Look up into the heavens. Who created all the stars? He brings them out like an army, one after another, calling each of them by name. Because of His great power and His incredible strength, not a single one of them is missing." So tonight in this assembly, we must right-size our God. He doesn't have a brain like yours. He doesn't have a brain like me. He doesn't even think like we think. He is working on a canvas that is so far beyond what we know or that we've ever dreamed or that we've ever imagined. He is bigger than anything that we know or that we can even comprehend. He's even bigger than what we can dream. And the heavens are here to tell us on a daily basis that God is huge. That God is so big and so powerful. Not only are they telling us that God is huge, but they're also telling us how small we are. Go to the next picture if you would. This picture here is a picture of a spiral galaxy. It's the same type of galaxy that the Milky Way is. But this picture that was taken here is compromised of hundreds of photos because we can't get out of our galaxy to actually get a picture of it. So they have to put these pictures compromised together of several thousand photos to get this picture. And the Milky Way galaxy, if you were to travel from one side to the other, it's estimated that it would take 100,000 light years to get across. And here in this galaxy, we're in there somewhere. Believe it or not, we're not right there in the middle. You would think, you know, the galaxy, we would be right in the middle. Actually, we're kind of out towards the outer bands there. And we live there between two of the outer bands, but you're probably saying, well, I don't see us. I don't even see us in our own galaxy. But to put it into perspective, our solar system, from the sun to Pluto, okay, is in this picture here. But to put it into perspective, our solar system to the Milky Way galaxy would be like putting a quarter on the ground and the rest of the Milky Way would be North America. So that gives you perspective of how great and how big this creation that our God has created. And we are not that consequential even in our own galaxy. in this galaxy we know, and in our solar system, one of the main stars that we know of is, of course, our sun. Okay, and our sun is not the biggest, and it's not even the brightest in our own galaxy, and it's just one of over another billion stars. Go to the next one, please. Okay, here is a picture taken, of course, of Earth. And around it tonight is orbiting other planets around the sun, and Earth, which is one of these, and we know that this Earth is our home. This picture here came from Apollo 17. Maybe some of you can remember the first time that man was able to get off the planet and send back a picture like this to many of us today that we take it for granted that we've always seen this. But maybe some of you can remember the first time that a picture like this was able to come back. In this picture, you can't really see the geography very well, but you can see some of the ocean and some of the continents there. But what you don't see is the people. You don't see the problems. You don't see the things that is going on in everyday life. You don't see the pain. You don't see the strife. You don't see even the poverty or the great need of the people that live on this planet that God created. And you might think that maybe our lives aren't quite as grand as we make them out to be. Neil Armstrong was one of the, I believe the first, was he the first to walk on the moon? Okay, that's what I thought. First to walk on the moon, and he was on the way back from Apollo 11, and he described this thought. He quoted as saying, "There was a tiny, pretty blue pea, and I came to realize that that pea was Earth." He says, "So I put my thumb up, and I closed one eye, and I blotted out planet Earth." He says, "But it didn't make me feel like a giant. It made me feel very, very small." Psalms chapter 8 and verse 3 says, "When I look at the night sky and I see the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars that you set in place, what is man that you should think about him? Human beings that you should care for them." In 1977, Voyager was launched to take pictures of our galaxy. It was a one-way mission. They were going to send this satellite camera out and send it off into space, never to be seen again. So it launched in 1977. 13 years later, in 1990, they told it to turn around before it got so far away that they could no longer communicate with it. And they told it to turn around and to take one last panoramic picture of what it could see. But by now, in these 13 years, it was 3.7 billion miles away from Earth. It was traveling at 40,000 miles per second. So it came and it began to take a series of images. Click, 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 click. Six images to get the shot. Each image, 640,000 pixels. It would take 5.5 hours for that one pixel to return back to Earth. And sometimes we think that our cell phones have slow service, right? Okay, so it's coming back. So after months and months, the image comes back from 3.7 billion miles from Earth. And astronomers are stunned at a very famous picture. Go to the next one. The picture is called a pale blue dot. And you might look at this picture and it shows up better back there than it does up here. Hit those lights, Brian. Hit the light up here. There you go. Well, maybe you can kind of see it, but there's a couple of bands. There it is. A couple of bands that are coming through this picture. Okay? And you might think, well, that's the one that you had your finger over the lens. You need to trash it. Don't even pay for it when you get your pictures developed, if we do that anymore. But what they were that was the sun reflecting off of the camera. And what astronomers came to find was right there in the middle of one of those sunbeams was a tiny blue dot. And what that was a picture of Earth from 3.7 billion miles away. When I first saw this, a shrinking feeling came over me, and I knew that my life was but a tiny blip on the radar of history. And now you're beginning to think that if you're not sleeping, you might hit those lights before everybody goes out. Cade, you're making me feel really small. You're making me feel really small tonight, but I'm not here to try to make you feel small. I'm trying to help you know that you are small. But one thing about being small to God is you are a significant insignificance. As tiny as we are in this universe and in this creation of God, we are prized by majesty. Just as He can name those stars and name them one by one, He could go through this auditorium tonight and He knows your name. He knows each and every one of us, and not only does He know us, but He is aware of us. And He cares for us, and He loves us. Next picture. Of course, we know that this is a picture of one of the stars in our galaxy, and it's our sun. 93 million miles to our sun. It's a raging ball of fire, 10,000 degrees on its surface. It has the energy equal to a million nuclear blasts every second. It sends light out, as we talked about, at 186,000 miles per second, and it only takes 8 minutes for the light to travel from 93 million miles away to Earth. Out here in the middle of August, it might seem like it gets here a lot quicker than that. But that's how long it takes, just as it came from the mouth of God in the very beginning. It tells us that our God is a ferocious God, that He's intense in power, that He's intense in holiness, and He's intent in might. And that's who we are here to worship tonight. Next picture. This will give us a perspective of how big the sun is to us here on earth. It would take the gross national product of the U.S. 7 million years for Norfolk Electric Company to run our sun for 1 second. The sun is 100 times the diameter of the earth. And remember, it's just a mediocre little star. One star of a billion of stars that is in our subdivision called the Milky Way, which is one subdivision in the universe of billions of other galaxies. Let's go to the next picture. Let's journey out 440 light years. We're getting on out here. Remember, a light year, 5.88 trillion miles. So now we're out 440 light years to a constellation or a star known as Pleiades, which is mentioned many times in Scripture. Job is having a conversation with God, and God is trying to remind him that God is big and Job is small. And he tells him, or he asks him, actually says, "Can you hold Pleiades in your hand?" And you can almost picture Job is looking up into the heavens, and he says, no, I can't. In another place in Scripture, it says that God can measure the universe in the span of His hand. So these millions of light years that we're talking about, our God is so big that He can measure it. Yep, that's it, right there. Right there in His hand. Let's journey out another 28 million light years. This is known as the Sombrero Galaxy. Looks a lot like a Frisbee to me. In this picture, you don't think, oh, that's not that impressive. But it's 50,000 light years wide. And the way that it sets towards the earth, we can only get a picture of it on this plane. We can't get a picture of it to see its thickness, but astronomers can estimate that it's trillions of miles thick. Now let's go ahead and let's put some more into perspective, okay? That we know how much money is. Okay, so if we were to take a pile of $100 bills and we wanted to stack it up to be $1 million, it would be 18 feet tall. Now, the difference between a billion and a million, or a million to a billion, if you stacked $1 billion up, it would be 18 feet taller than the Washington Monument. So now, I don't even know how to calculate how tall it would be for $1 trillion. Can you imagine something that is 5.8 trillion miles in 1 year? And this is 440 of those years away. Let's journey out again, 28 more to 20. That's 440 light years. Now we're going to go out 28 million light years to the Sombrero Galaxy. Okay? It's 50,000 light years wide, trillions of miles thick, and you think, wow, what is it? What is going on out there? What is it there for? What is it doing up there? It's there to glorify our God and to remind us how great our God is. I'm going the wrong way in my notes now. Okay, this, go back one picture. I've got a picture ahead of myself. This is actually the Whirlpool Galaxy. And it's another 3 million light years past the Sombrero Galaxy. Okay, and it's known as the darling of astronomy. That it's such a great design that it has 300 to 500 billion, with a B, billion stars in it. And it is so powerful, and there's so much going on there in the center that scientists first believe that that white blob you see out there to the right, that that's a whole nother galaxy, and that this galaxy is so big and so powerful that it is actually sucking that galaxy into itself. Every second in this galaxy, a new star is born. And in this new galaxy, God is naming that star each and every time. What I want you to know is, God has made everything that we have seen tonight. He has been control from the very beginning. But now I want to take you so far out. I want to take you so far away that it's going to blow your mind. Something I can't even describe. I want to take you so far out that the only thing that can describe it is your mind and yourself to picture it. Go to the next slide. We know that this is a picture of a reenaction of Christ, the Son of God, giving His life for you and for me on the cross. As we spoke earlier, He, being Christ, made everything that we know and everything that we've seen. Scripture tells us that through Jesus, God made the world. Paul says He created everything in the heavens and on the earth. But you're probably thinking, well, not why are we going to take this left turn? Why are we going to go from what we've been looking at to this picture of Christ? What we must realize is that the Maker of this universe is hanging there on that cross that He made. Paul tells us in Philippians 2 and 6, though He was God, He did not think of equality with God as something to cling to. Instead, He gave up those divine privileges. He took the humble position of a slave and was born a human being. He humbled Himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even the death on a cross. The psalmist says, "The Lord is merciful and gracious. He's slow to anger and abounding in a steadfast love. He will not always, nor will He keep His anger forever. He does not deal with us according to our sins, nor repay us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is His steadfast love toward those who fear Him. As far as the east is from the west, that's how far He has removed our transgressions from us. As far as a father shows compassion to his children, so the Lord shows compassion to those who fear Him. For He knows our frame, and He remembers that we are dust. When He appeared in human form, He humbled Himself into obedience to God, and He died a criminal's death. Tonight, I don't know where you're at. I don't know what you're dealing with in your lives. I don't know what problems you have. But I want you to know that our God is great, and our God loves you. Long before you decided what you would do with God, God decided what He would do for you. So tonight, God has done His part. John 3:16 tells us that God sent His Son, the only begotten Son. And He did it to give His Son what our sins, or what we deserved. And He also, through His Son, gave us an invitation to live with Him forever. Colossians chapter 1 and 13 and 14 says, He has delivered us from the power of darkness, and He's conveyed us into the kingdom of His Son, into the kingdom of the Son of His love, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins. But no matter how powerful, no matter how big, no matter how grand, no matter how great our God is, we still have to do our part. We have to take advantage of this redemption by coming in contact with His blood. But what we must remember as Christians, just as He knows the name of each star and knows the name of each of you, and that He's so powerful that He holds them all in His hand, nothing can shake us from the hand of God. He is holding the whole universe into place. And we must know that we can trust Him fully for the rest of our days. It's a love so amazing and a love so divine. It demands our soul and it demands our life. Whatever needs you have of the church this evening, we love you and we're here to help you. If you need to respond to the invitation, you can as we stand and as we sing.